All right, good morning, everybody. We are in this series called Set Apart, and that's kind of how we kickstart the year. And for some of you who are new, we typically kickstart the year with the rest of the world, at least the every nation world, where we all do prayer and fasting together. So a couple of show you a couple of pictures. This is our prayer and fasting season, and we did it in different churches. And as churches grows and we have more churches, we're also thinking how best to do that. But the idea is to as many of us participate. And we always encourage everybody that the best way to live your life is to put God first. So the idea is actually to be able to give your first week unto God. And the thinking has always been like putting on a shirt. If you're able to put the first button right, the rest of the button follows. And that's the idea that we wanted to encourage everybody. So if you have not been able to join us for this year, I want to welcome you to join us for next year. So turn to your neighbor and say, I'll see you next year. Okay, I'll pray with you next year. Okay, but really, more than all the rallying, our heartbeat is that every one of us put God first, which really reminds me of one particular family. During prayer and fasting season, they were traveling all over the world. So they post a lot of food picture while everybody was traveling. So when they came back, then they said, you know, Pastor, no, next year we won't travel. We'll do prayer and fasting together with you. Okay, so you get to do a lot of things, but we want to encourage you, put God first. Now, so together with that, every year, we ended the prayer and fasting, and then we'll do what we call a leadership conversion. A leadership conversion, we have about almost 500 leaders coming together. Leadership conversion is a platform where we get all the leaders from all every nation churches in Malaysia. Then we will gather together. So we have Pastor Jackie and the whole entire China team, which is with us last weekend. That's where we ordained Eugene as a pastor as well. It is one of those a great gathering of all leaders as we believe God for a new chapter. So I want to encourage you, different spot of you, different one of you, you're in this church. Maybe God puts in your heart to step up a bit. And the way we think about leadership is never about position, it's always serving. It is a heartbeat to serve one another. So we had a great time, leadership conversion. And then yesterday, we had our preachers training. With all that is happening, we had almost 60 or actually slightly more than that, which means Chinese preachers, teens preachers, campus preachers, different churches preachers gather together. And we're going to do that 3 times just to help every preacher to approach the Word of God better, train them. And so I just want you to know that so much is happening, and I pray and I hope that as a congregation that you will always just grow with us and to believe God for everything that God has for us. Okay, now, so in this set apart, the idea set apart was actually to really talk about holiness. So the word set apart begins with the understanding that God is holy. That means God is other than all of us. He is a creator. We are His creation. So He's a creator, we are His creation. So there is a distinguishing of who we are and who He is. So the otherness of God is called the set apart. But the idea of set apart is not that we only look and amaze at who God is. The idea of the setting apart of God will eventually help us to choose a life that we are willing to be set apart for God. So which is why in the Old Testament, you have many, many very ordinary things like utensil, tabernacle, different things, even animals, language, was kind of set apart. The idea is that this belongs to God. So when we started the series of setting apart, we wanted to take as big biblical view look on the theme of holiness. And then eventually we hope to end at this point that every one of us would want to live a life that you desire to be set apart for God, okay? So we kind of started with the idea that God is holy. And I think I was the one that, you know, preached about that. And then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Agape preached about how when God that is holy and wanted us to be holy because of introduction of sin into the world, it kind of messed up the whole thing. So man has lost a lot of things. We lost the understanding of what is holiness. We lost communion with God. We lost the purpose of why God created. So there was a loss as human mankind. Which is why we have different religion, different philosophy that's always trying to connect the dot, what is spirituality, what is faith. And we lost that. So in that, today we're going to talk about how God restored holiness. or at least restored the communion that he has with us so that we're able to worship God again. All right, now, so because of that, we're going to look through at this particular statement I'm going to make, and I'm with that, I'm going to kind of be the springing board for us to go the rest of today's sermon, okay? So, last or 2 weekends ago, Pastor Agape talked about how Adam and Eve sinned against God, all right? So, when that happened, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, God introduced an entire priesthood system that involved, now, I know that's a big word, This big statement was trying to cover almost 1,000 to 2,000 years of history of the nation of Israel. So started with Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, God introduced them an animal sacrifice. The animal sacrifice is very critical and component because God is wanting all of us to know every time you sin, sin cannot be just excused like that. Sin has to be punished. And the punishment of sin is always death. So every time that an animal sacrifice was being given, it is a reminder that the animal actually took your place. You should be the one that died like the animal. So an animal sacrifice was then made. So it started off with Adam and Eve. Eventually, the practice went on until Abraham. You see Abraham doing all of that. When it comes to the entire nation of Israel, they developed what we call a priesthood system that involved animal sacrifice. So I talk about it, which, by the way, there is a calculation to the animal sacrifice. One family, one lamb can feed how many? And if I'm not mistaken, I read about during the Passover in Israel, hundreds of thousands of lambs were slaughtered because they go by according to the number of people as well. And then he says, bloodshed to atone for sin. So blood was shed, a very bloody kind of a thing, to remind us, because blood represents life, and every time when we sin, a life has to be substituted. Then we introduce another terminology called the Levitical priesthood, or to serve. The Levitical priesthood comes from the concept of there were 12 tribes of Israel, and there was one particular tribe called the Levites, which is set apart to be a whole lineage of priests to serve the entire nation in the priesthood system. Are you still with me? So this entire system is called, I call it the priesthood system, and that involves key moments to receive God's redemption. And then when I say that, there were different festivals in the nation of Israel, and there's a particular one called the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, and the word atone simply means redemption, right? And the Day of Atonement simply means where the highest of all the priests, so you got the Levitical priesthood, there are different degrees of priests. Some priests, their job is just to sweep the floor. Some priests, their high priest is the one that goes to the Holy of Holies, which is the most secret place in the tabernacle, and offer a certain sacrifice. So the Day of Atonement was the only day in a year where the high priest will actually walk in and offer the sacrifice first for himself and then offer the sacrifice for the nation of Israel in order to receive the redemption and the forgiveness of God. Now, we call this entire thing called the Levitical priesthood system. Now, I know it's a mouthful to explain 1,000 years of history, but this practice still exists in Israel today. Okay, by the way, it still exists. Now, why is it important for me to explain all of this? Because this was the system that enables people to still connect to God. This system enables people to still coexist with God because God is holy, we are sinful. Okay? Now, then when we come to the New Testament, when Christ came, all this Levitical priesthood system, all the animal sacrifice, all the blood that was shed, it culminates and Jesus, when he died on the cross. So this is a little bit technical, so got to follow me, okay? When Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled all of this. He became the sacrificial lamb. Once and for all, he died to redeem. So no need every year again. His blood was shed in order for the forgiveness of sin, and he himself was a high priest. And so all of that was accomplished in Jesus. Now, that's where I'm going to move you towards as we talk about how holiness was restored among each and every one of us. Now, so we're going to look at a particular passage in the book of Hebrews to compare or to contrast the Levitical priesthood system and what Jesus has done for us. All right, now, so follow with me. Book of Hebrews, let me give you a little bit of a background. Book of Hebrews, the author wrote it to the Jews. Now, the Jews has practiced this entire system for thousands of years. By then, maybe about 2,000-3,000. So they have always been practicing for that. So now when Jesus came, it was difficult to change their mindset. So they were very easily wanting to go back to the mindset. Number two, during that time, there were massive persecution. So Book of Hebrews, when the author of Hebrews was written, he had a couple of goals in mind. One is he wanted them to know that, please do not go back to the old system. Would you come to Jesus? Because this is a better system. Which is why in the book of Hebrews, he was belaboring that Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the law. Jesus is better than Aaron. Jesus is better than Jesus is a promise. I mean, he keep on just helping to understand that Jesus brings in the whole better new covenant. Okay, and number two, he is also encouraging the people, despite of all the persecution that you are going through, that if you were to come to Jesus, he is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the one that helps you to navigate when life at the toughest part. Okay, so he's doing all that to encourage them. Now, so this is where we will come to this particular passage, Hebrews chapter 7. And we're going to look at Hebrews 7, 23 to 28. But I want to start at 7:11. That's a good place, 7-Eleven, right? Okay, that's right, okay? Because it kind of set the stage a little bit. So let me just kind of walk you through and hopefully I help you to make sense, okay? So the Bible says, if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood. So I explained the Levitical priesthood. Perfection means if sin really can be fully forgiven, if redemption, salvation can be fully achieved, then he says, indeed the law given the people established that priesthood. Why was there still need for another priest? So he's trying to say that if this entire Levitical priesthood, this entire law that was given in the Old Testament, if this have done the job, he says, then you actually don't need another priesthood. Okay? Then he was trying to introduce what is this another priesthood. He says, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. Now, if you're first time here, first of all, you've got to handle Levitical priesthood. You're thinking about Levi's gene. Nothing to do with that, okay? Then you got to hear the word Melchizedek. That's another big word. Some of you is like, Melzizuda. You know, how are you going to read that? And then you got the order of Aaron, okay? Now, so to help you to simplify, it is really the Levitical priesthood, which is Aaron, you know, that's how they started, okay? But really, Levitical priesthood and also the Melchizedek priesthood. Now, Melchizedek, it's really a very interesting name and person in the Bible. Without me going through the detail, the Melchizedek name was introduced during Abraham's time, long before the nation of Israel was actually developed. In fact, one of the verses in the Bible says, long before Levi, he says Levi is actually in Abraham by then because the descendants haven't come to that. So he was trying to establish that long before the Levitical priesthood, there is actually a way for during Abraham's time for him to connect through this Melchizedek priesthood. Now, maybe in the dialogue, I can give you a little bit more information, but there's only about 7 times mentioned Melchizedek in the Bible. Genesis, I think 2 times, Psalms 1 time, Hebrews maybe about 6-7 times. So it's a very, very interesting priesthood, okay? But nevertheless, this another order of priesthood is very important. Okay, now, I want to introduce this 2 Greek word here. First of all, is the word another. So if you look at the Bible, he says here, I give you another. Now, this is a very important thinking in the Bible. You must be a bit of a Bible nerd to really enjoy this. Okay, so just try to think along that line. There are 2 Greek words for another. One is alos. That's where you get alos ta. I'm just kidding, okay? One is alos. The other one is heteros. Come on, everybody say it together. Alos and heteros. I was kind of intrigued by this word, another, because while I was reading the Bible, when Jesus introduced the Holy Spirit in John 15, 16, He says, I'll give you another comforter. He used another. But the Greek word is alos parakletos, which means I'll give you another comforter. And he used the word alos for that. But here, another priest, he used the word heteros. What's the difference? The difference is for alos, it's another of the same kind. Heteros is another of a different kind. So Jesus is trying to tell the disciples, he says, when I go away, I'm going to give you a alos parakletos. I'm going to give you another comforter. He's trying to say that this who is coming to help you, called the Holy Spirit, is another but same kind, which means that all the miracles that you have seen, Holy Spirit can empower you. It's the same kind that works in me. It's going to work in you. It's the same. But when it comes to this priesthood system, he's saying that when Jesus came as the high priest to bring salvation or to restore holiness to each and every one of us, he says he is another of a different kind. Are you with me? And this is brilliant. This is the Bible author inspired by God. Chose every word very carefully. So he was trying to tell us that why then this priesthood of Jesus, the one that's going to restore her, the one that's going to remove sin, why was it so incredible? That's where we'll pick up Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23 to 25. So then, I introduce you to do the Levitical Melchizedek priesthood. Now he went on to explain a bit further. Okay, now this is how he explained. He says, now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing office. He was contrasting the Levitical priesthood, which he says most of the priests will actually die. They won't live forever, which is very true. So you go to priest one today, you share your problem. Tomorrow, the priest have a heart attack. Alamak, you've got to share all your problem to another priest. Because he says, that's the reality. He says, this Levitical priesthood, based on genealogy, based on Levites, he says, they don't live forever. But because Jesus lives forever, he is a different kind of a priest. He then has a permanent priesthood forever. Therefore, he's able to save completely. That's where you get the Greek word called sozo. Sozo simply means God will save you from everything that's needed to be saved, nothing to be added, nothing to be deducted. It's a complete salvation. It's not like, oh, you know, some people, right, you know, how medical doctors sometimes, I'm very careful, right? I'm sure there's a lot of great doctors here, okay? But how medical world? Today, they give you, okay, you know, let's reduce your this one, and then after they give you this med, oh, gosh, this meds cause your kidney to be malfunction. Okay, they give you another med, and then they give you, oh, gosh, this cause your kidney to malfunction. Now your malfunction is okay, but, oh, then it causes you to have this another uric acid to be very high, you know what I'm saying? So, he's trying to say that this completely save you mean, it doesn't just save you this at the expense of another. It gives you the complete salvation. Those who come to God through Jesus, through him, because, would you read the last statement? Because he always lived to intercede for them. He says, this Jesus high priest will be forever playing the role of a priest to reconcile us to God. Which means this, which means tomorrow, today when I sin, and the devil comes to me and says, okay, you have sinned, I am going to punish you. And then Jesus said, hello, excuse me. Sorry, I paid for the debt already. I've done it. Right? Then tomorrow you sin again. And Jesus will come again and say, no, I have paid for the debt. He says he will forever intercede for us. Okay? Contrasting the Levitical and the Melchizedek, all the priesthood under Jesus. He says, such a high priest truly meets our need. This is a priest, not the one, the system that goes everywhere. He says, this one means our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, which is why he's able to do all that he did, because he's sinless. Exalted above the heavens, unlike the other high priest, which is the Levitical one, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sin, that's what the high priest do on the Day of Atonement. First for his sin and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins, would you read? Once for all when he offered himself. Now, so Jesus went to the great extent to actually restore communion, purpose of God, everything with us today. Okay? For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weaknesses, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Now, all these verses that I'm trying to focus is to help us to understand when Jesus came, He gave totally rebranded what it means for you and I to connect to God. So in the old, you got to bring animal sacrifice, which really reminded me when I was working for, when I was in Bible college, one day I received a call actually from someone who wants to come to church and want to bring an animal sacrifice. He actually called and said, it's a she. He says, hi, you know, I'm coming to church tomorrow. I'm going to bring some pigeon for animal sacrifice. You know, do you all have the... I'm like, wow. And to trace it back, because she read the Bible on her own and she wanted to connect to God, she thought it was an animal sacrifice. How many of you are grateful that you don't have to bring your dog, right? So Jesus has done everything for us. Perfect sacrifice, okay? Now, not only Jesus have done, and I think one of the greatest restoration, He wants us to be His fellow priests. So it's one thing, Christianity is one thing for us to be able to say, God, all that You have done for me, fantastic. It's another when we decide to say, God, You have called us to be fellow priests together with Him. And this is how it was said in 1 Peter. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Now, I know that's we all read through all of that, but did you know that it was a royal priesthood because there's a meaning behind? And what's the meaning behind? All the Levitical priesthood come from the tribe called Levites. But Jesus is not the tribe of Levites. He come from the tribe of Judah. Judah is the Levite of royalty, not Levite, sorry. It's the whole entire general law. People like David, they all came from Judah. So when he said that Jesus is a royal priesthood and he called us royal priesthood, he's trying to help us to understand we actually do not come from just a Levite. There is a kingship and a priesthood that actually combines together, which is why he's called you and I, we are a royal priesthood. A holy nation, a God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So this entire holiness being revealed and restored was helping us to understand not only now we are connected back to God because of what Jesus has done, we are actually called to be people who help to reconcile others unto God. Now, this is why 2 Corinthians 5, 18, 20, Paul said it another way. So Peter said it in the Peter package. Paul said it in Paul's package. Paul said this, all this is from God, which you read together, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, this is very important. That means when God saved you and I, He reconciled us to Himself. And you know what? In our life, there is a lot of things that we go through that needed to reconcile with God. There are difficulties in life. There are challenges. There are things that you and I don't understand. And I'm going to share a story shortly. But more than that, God also expects us to not only reconcile with Him, but be a minister of reconciliation. He put that into our lap and say, would you help to reconcile others unto me? All right, now, I want to take these two combined by really telling you one to two stories that I think was really moving and meaningful right after our Christmas production, okay? So, during the Christmas production, how many of you came for our Christmas production? Okay, how many of you remember Bob? Okay, never mind. Bob was actually Zi-Guan, who lost the son in the drama and who stood here when he was in between the son's grave and also Ed, remember? And he sang a song, okay, which he was exceptionally emotional. He was crying and all of that, okay? So when I wanted to take you behind the scene, and I think once you understand some of the people that actually wrote the song, I think it becomes really, really meaningful. The entire production, one of the key person that contributed in the script writing, actually she is the main person, was actually Melissa. I'm going to show her picture shortly, but I want to tell the story first and I'm going to show a picture. It's Melissa. Melissa is married to the husband called Jason. They are both, she is a songwriter, script writer, brilliant with words, not like me. Jason, the husband, is a musician. So Melissa wrote the script for the entire drama. Jason actually wrote the song that Bob sang, which is a song that was filled with pain. So the background of the story between for Jason and Melissa, which I'm going to tell you, is that they both wanted a child for many, many years, but they just never get the opportunity to have a baby. Again, unexplainable. They then went through IVF. And I think when they went through IVF, this is what Melissa said to me. We went through IVF, had 4 unsuccessful embryo transfer, which means that they actually had embryo and then, but all 4 of them all failed. And in the midst of that, she developed a health condition which left her in constant pain. And if there were conception, then this issue would have gone away. But at the same time, conception was also impossible because of the medication that's needed for this treatment. So sometimes we are caught in this medical, I don't know, gaps that we are so limited, okay? And I kind of knew them last year when they first joined our church. I began to kind of, you know them a little bit more and trying to do our best to really encourage them in this journey of failed IVF. And I still remember that for the last embryo transfer, they really believed God for a miracle. They came for altar prayer. We tracked with them. And when they realized that they could not have a baby, it was very devastating. It was very painful. And lots of questions will enter our world. Why didn't God want to give us a baby and all of that, right? So in the midst of that kind of emotion and pain, that's where Jason wrote the song as he was trying to express his personal grief and pain. Let me read the lyrics of the song. It says, "Sometimes I look at the sky, seeking God for answers. I wonder if He knows it all. The pain I feel inside, every dream now scattered, nothing else matters. When the one you love the most," and obviously this is Bob's situation, "when you want the love the most is gone and now a memory. I wish I could hear your voice again and I long to hold you in my arm again and tell you I love you. Maybe God has a plan bigger than these voices. If only I could know it all, for I don't understand, yet my hope is in Jesus, who carries the world, who carries my world. All hope is found in Christ alone, Jesus, my risen King. I know that death is not the end. Death is not the end. I will see you again someday." So this song became very personal because it's his way of expressing some of the confusion that he has in this journey with God. And I want to show you that that's part of our reconciliation with God. That's part of sometimes things that we really don't understand. And we need to juggle with that. But what was powerful was, while that song was written and sung, Zee Kuan, who sang the song, 2017, his mom was diagnosed with cancer, and 2019, the mom passed away, someone that he was very close with. So every time when he sang the song, "I long to hear your voice, I long to hug you," it became very emotional because that was his cry for his mom. So when I began to know the story of both Zee Kuan and Jason and Melissa, and I thought the drama did this one thing, the production. It brings closure for Zee Kuan. It brings encouragement for him. There were times when during the practice when he cried because he thought about that. And it took him a while to get back his emotion, which is why for many people who watch that scene and say, how could he cry so deep? Little did we know that he was in a particular spot in his life. And part of that reconciliation with God. So for Jason and Melissa, and I think what was really, really moving for me was, and this is how they said it. They said, "Pastor, even though the brokenness we were feeling, we know God's plan was bigger. The prayer we had was for God to use us in a new way, give us new dreams, and help us not to be broken people, and let all these health issues and childlessness define us. I thought that was so incredibly powerful. So here we are, we have two couples. We have a couple that unexplainable, IVF, not successful, develop a pain. They were trying to navigate all that. And you can allow all this thing to define you. But something about, I think, when holiness was restored and communion with God was restored, something about when we learn how to invite God into our world. And this is their prayer. They say, God, help me to think new dreams, have a new desire, even though in the midst of all that we are going through. And I just want to show you the picture of Jason and Melissa, and I think they are somewhere here in this service as well. I didn't mean it for that text, okay? So I meant it for the text I'm going to read shortly. But that's Jason and Melissa. Would you just give them a hand, you know, just for their faith and all that, okay? So this is what they wrote to me that I thought was just very personal for me. He says, thank you for entrusting us with this production. It's been an honor and privilege to work on with the team. It's also been therapeutic and a good form of escape, even as we grapple with different disappointments this year. But this has definitely been the highlight of my year. You know, when I think about, because of God and His grace and restoring the entire communion and purpose in our life, all of a sudden, even man's most tragic moment, God can turn it around and help us to become ministers of reconciliation. And I know that this story of theirs will resonate and resound to some of you sitting here. And you kind of say, wow, they were childless, but that never defined them. And they're asking God, in my brokenness, redefine us so that we're able to live a life that becomes a minister of reconciliation. So as I close, and you know, I'm sure there'll be questions that you have, I want to take a moment to pray for a particular category of people. I want to pray for some of you, you are wrestling through seasons of life where you don't understand. I know it's painful for different one of us, but I want to invite you to invite God. Because when God restored our communion, He restored purpose, He restored us connecting, He restored His grace and mercy so that we can live our life with Him. And because we are with Him, we see things differently. Would you stand? Would you stand? Okay, would you just stand as we... I'm going to pray a generic prayer, and then we're going to jump into the dialogue. But if you were somewhat in your season of life where you are struggling and asking this question, God, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. Maybe you pray the prayer like them. God, give us new dream. Give us new way of thinking so that these challenges I have will not define me, but let you define me. God, I come before you. God, I'm praying for each and every one of us as we stand in your presence. Help us to navigate life difficult spot, yet we can take our pain and our situation and say, God, could this be set apart so that, God, it became a fresh voice to those around me? So, God, as we come before you, and I know different one of us face different challenges, but we surrender and we invite your love and your grace, your mercy to define us. Thank you that because you are with us, we are stronger, we are better, we can go further. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, Sam.